This week on the Jock and Nerd Podcast, we review The Fall Guy, plus James Gunn reveals the first official look at his Superman, trailer reactions for The Acolyte, The Boys, and Cobra Kai, the latest MCU casting news, and more, all in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Monday, May 6, 2024.
Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. Welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Remember, Batman's got your back.
Check. Check one. All right. This is for all you fans out there. Let's give it up.
Hey, hello, listener. What's up? Thanks for pressing play, and welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we give you comic book and superhero TV and movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose.
Jock and Nerd.
My name is Imran.
My name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And joining us, this guy does all his own stunts. They call him the Fall Boy. It's Rug Boy. What's up, Fall Boy? You fall? How's the trip?
Bad joke.
I do all my own stunts, people. There's no stunt anything. There's no stunt slack hole. Everything that goes in there is really going in there.
You're off in the pad that the other stuntmen fall on for cushioning.
Sure.
You know, you can work multiple ways.
I can jump off a building without any kind of like balloon or anything to catch my fall.
They just fling you over there. You're fine.
Yeah. I gotta be worried about like anything, any gusts of wind over like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I end up in the wrong place.
The dangers of being made out of felt.
How many times do I have to end up in the Hudson River?
You're doing like the Tom Cruise like bike jumps and you just float away.
Like, yeah, oops. I gotta weigh myself down with rolls of quarters.
We're gonna need to put a couple pieces of coal inside of him.
Yeah, anybody got any quarters we could tape to his feet? This isn't working.
Why is the inside of my slack hole black?
Yikes.
There's a lot of reasons for that.
Well, fuck. Now that we've established Drug Boy is a stuntman, let's continue. Lots of fun things to talk about this week in the news. Here we go.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
We had another lovely Monday gift, a Monday surprise. Remember Deadpool Wolverine dropped on the Monday? How excited I was. Thank you. Thank you for coordinating these things when we record our podcast. This time, coming to us from James Gunn, as he reveals the first photo of David Corenswet in the Superman suit for the Superman movie. And, well, it's a weird photo to put out as the official first look, to say the least. It is Superman sitting in his apartment, putting his boots on, while there's a giant orb eyeball thing in the sky in the background shooting a laser.
Oh.
There's also a green laser hitting the back of that thing, if you notice. We'll get into what the fuck is happening back there. But, Anthony.
Yeah.
This thing was making the rounds today. It's very popular. You saw this. What do you think overall? And do you think this is a weird choice to put out as the first reveal for Superman?
The comments on Instagram were pretty very nuts on this one.
Yeah, very entertaining. Very entertaining to read. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I first saw it, I didn't think anything of it. Then I looked at it again, and I understand the people questioning the picture, like, what's going on here? I mean, none of it really makes sense, first off. Like, you have this thing that's happening in the background, and it looks like he's, like, getting ready for work.
Yeah, he looks kind of annoyed, like, ugh, I can put these fucking boots
in. He looks annoyed, and he looks like he's just kind of chilling. Like, it's a weird photo, because it doesn't look like he has any urgency to be out there.
So, wait, could it be, because he also put this comment after the photo. He says, the above photo was taken on set by Jess Miglio and was entirely in camera, which that's weird, but could this just be a picture of David Corenswet getting ready to shoot a scene and not necessarily we're looking at Superman suiting up to go into action? Can you read it?
If it was David Corenswet shooting a scene, why would you include the clearly CGI
Yes, that so
of and that happening in the background.
If he says it's in camera, I'm wondering if they have like the volume type of screen in the back. That's just I don't know. That's weird. Yes.
It's just a strange picture because I mean the suit looks all right, but it's not a very flattering picture of the suit. Like it's bunched up around his shoulders. It's dirty on top, but then clean on the bottom.
Yeah, that's true. His legs are like blue. I like that it's dirty.
It's just an interesting choice for a first picture. I don't know that that's the most flattering shot of Superman.
Yeah,
you could have
it's very strange.
It seems like what they're trying to do is make him look like one of us.
Yeah.
But it's just I would have picked a better picture.
Ruggs, what do you think of the suit? We have lines that are very reminiscent of the New 52 suit, the collar, but you got the Kingdom Come logo. He's meshing two things together.
Yeah. Well, seeing corn's wet, my corn is dry now.
Oh, no.
He's dried off my corn.
I mean, he looks the part. He looks exactly like Henry Cavill.
Exactly like Henry Cavill? Very similar. I think he's got a Cavill-esque-ness to him. But, yeah, whatever the Anthony said, like, this suit, it just looks ill-fitting, and it doesn't exude anything. I feel like the WB suit was just as good, or if not better.
Yeah.
And, the collar, it's that's a thing. He doesn't really seem to be that idyllic. And maybe that's their angle, but I don't know. It's like, it's just not the best, first picture that I've seen. Like, the first time they revealed Cavill, and he was standing by the safe, and you could see, like, the suit, and it looked like it was molded to his body, and the cape just looked epically long and flowing.
Why wouldn't he pick the pose? You know, you got to do the Superman pose. Wouldn't you think that, your hero shot?
It just reduces him to a regular person in a cot. It looks like a guy in Halloween. He doesn't look like an actual. Yeah. Like, how do you ascend from somebody in cosplay to the actual thing? Right. Like there's something that special. There's a magic that happens when the actual character is like, when you see someone cosplaying as Wonder Woman and you see the real Wonder Woman costume and Gal Gadot in it.
Yeah.
It's a difference. When you see Henry Cavill in the suit and some guy cosplaying in the suit, there's a difference.
Would you say, is this an upgrade or downgrade, I guess, from the last suit, which would be the Cavill suit? Now, Zack Snyder did have amazing costumes, but wasn't that like an alien Kryptonian suit? This could be a suit that started as something his mother made him, and it's more grounded. I don't know.
I don't know.
Upgrade or downgrade?
Either way, yeah, I just feel like it's not necessarily a huge downgrade. I just think that the fit is really what the problem is, and the pose, and the picture. So it's got all these things working against
all those things combined. Anthony,
it looks like he's wearing the red trunks.
Yes, I was going to ask, does it look like, it's hard to see, it's dark, but it does look like the trunks are back, which that's great. It's fine. They've been missing on the last couple of designs. I put this link in. Variety rated every live action costume for Superman. And let's just remember, like, the Brandon Routh suit. What did you guys think of that? That's not bad. It's clean.
I didn't like that one.
You didn't like that one?
No.
It's very comics accurate. Okay, so then we have, of course.
That one. I didn't really like that one either.
But it's like, he's aping like the Reeves suit. Do we all like the Reeves suit?
The Reeves suit's great.
The Reeves suit's it's good, but it's of its time, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you threw that on someone now, you'd be like, eh. But it fits that era.
I think the thing that the Routh suit got wrong is that the collar's too tight and the cape comes up. Like, it doesn't really make his shoulders look big. It makes him look weird.
Yeah, okay.
So, and the cape is like this like leathery material. It doesn't flow
instead of fabric, yeah. I like the shield. So, I'm not even going to mention the Dean Cain suit for Melissa Clark. That suit's ridiculous. The S is way too fucking big. I don't know what they were doing there. It's fucking ridiculous. So Henry Cavill has, you know, a couple of suits. We saw him in the darkened blue and
red.
They're
missing a suit.
And then the black one. Which one?
They're missing the Brandon Routh suit from Crisis, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is the best suit.
Really? And I will tell you, this, the Taylor Hawkland, Lois, Superman and Lois suit, it's not bad. It's not bad for a TV show. I think it's pretty good. Anthony, what do you think? What's your favorite out of these?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think the Superman suit in general is tough. It's a kind of a shitty, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, a really cheesy thing to be wearing at times. I mean, the classic Reeves one is always going to be great just because it's again, of its time. But I really grew to like the Man of Steel one.
Yeah.
I think mostly because Henry Cavill is just so jacked that it looks like he looks like a god in it.
Although I
would mention that I do wish they incorporated some red to break up the blue from his waist to his legs.
And on the Cavill one.
Yeah.
That's why you need the shorts.
If they had that, it would be good.
That's why you need the underwear on the outside, right?
You don't necessarily need the underwear. You could do like a belt. Well, like doing with the
Taylor Hoechlin one has he's got a red belt. He doesn't have the trunks, right, but he's got a red belt, and it's a nice little
I put up a shot of the Ralph costume. He's next to Tyler Hoechlin. He's like taller than him and huge.
That's the one that he had the
in the Crisis suit.
The Kingdom Come, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool one.
Yeah, that's the best suit.
I like that.
He looks amazing in it.
The problem with the Ralph one from Superman Returns is they like all the things Ruggs mentioned, but also they they made the blue bluer, but then the red like maroon.
Yeah, it's like dark.
So it's like they like pick a.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was weird.
His collar looks weird too. Like I'm going to show you a picture of this.
So the Brandon Ralph from the Crisis has a wide collar, which that kind of.
They also that picture in this variety.
Yeah,
but this like. Why am I seeing his bulge?
Why
is it that angle?
I can tell you why.
It's the Ryan
Singer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Ryan Singer.
He's a perv. All right.
Why is it from that angle? Why is he posed with his hips out like that?
Look at that picture. Look how weird the collar looks. The collar's like right up on his neck.
I did like the Zack Snyder black one though.
The black one is dope. Yeah. That one grew on me. It looks very cool. Look, this one they're going a different way. It looks all right.
I don't even consider the Nicolas Cage one real.
No, you can't count that one.
That's a CGI.
That whole thing, yes, in the end of The Flash was horrible. He didn't even know he was in the movie. This one, I gotta wait till we see it in live action and motion. Maybe it looks better.
Yeah, I'm sure it might be better in live action. It's just that's a tough picture.
And yes, it is. I just don't understand why he put this out as the first thing. Corn Sweat is jacked, by the way. There's another photo of him going around looking all huge. Now, as far as the back, what's happening in the fucking back there, do you guys have any guesses? Do you know?
Brainiac?
What? So a lot of people guess Brainiac. I think that's a good guess.
Yeah, he's pink.
There's like a sentient sun called Solaris was another guess. War World or the Sun Eater. I think that's also a lantern blast. That little, you see that green thing? It's coming from
It's got to be a lantern beam.
That just happens to stop right behind where the window is. So it's very weird. It's very weird. First photo, but here we go. We have our first look as the Corn Sweat as Superman. Listener, let us know what you thought. You can join this conversation. Join our Facebook group. It's called Jock and Nerd Nation.
Jock and Nerd!
I posted this in there soon as it came up. So you can discuss among like-minded geeks, yay or nay. People seem to be somewhat okay with it, but why is it baggy? Is that going to be touched up? It looks like he's at a shoe store trying on shoes. It's all very strange.
It's not that hard to make a cool Superman costume. Just do it.
Yeah.
Snyder already did it.
Look, I like the curl. He looks like fucking Superman.
Yeah, the curl.
So.
The undies. That's all you had to do.
The undies would have been good on the Snyder. I think, nothing makes sense. Like, why is he so nonchalantly throwing on his boots when there's a clearly an epic event happening?
He's like, I'll get there. I gotta find my fucking Crocs first. Put my Superman Crocs on. But then I thought, like, maybe it's a picture of him on set and that's like the mood, but that's also, it's just unclear. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Don't release something like this unless you want people to shit on you. That's all I have to say. Like the fact that James Gunn, I in no way believe that James Gunn thought that this was going to be. He purposely did this to fuck with people.
Is he trolling
us? No way. There's no way that he didn't know that this photo wasn't going to fucking generate stupidity.
He's not looking at like they're going to love this. No, I think he's
and if he did it, then whoa, we're in big trouble.
Or he's trying to be cute. I feel like he's trying to be cute. He's trying something different. He's like, let me give you a candid on set photo first, and then we'll put out a thing. I don't know. It's very confusing. Anyways, moving on. We got a couple of trailers that came out to discuss some fun stuff. Did you guys get a chance to watch these?
Yes.
I forgot to ask. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only three. The first one is Star Wars, Anthony's favorite franchise.
Oh, yeah. I love Star Wars.
The Acolyte is coming out June 4th, 2-episode premiere. This is the one that happens a long, long time ago. The beginning of the Sith, right? There's a bunch of Jedi around. Anthony, let's just start with you. I know you love Star Wars. What is happening here? What do you make out?
I don't know. Some person is hunting Jedi that used to be a Jedi, and you've got a Trinity from the Matrix in this, and I guess now you're informing me this happened a long time ago.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. It all looks the same to me, so... I don't really. All Star Wars stuff for me looks the same. I have like trouble even distinguishing when you involve Jedi. I have trouble distinguishing what's what.
Okay, fair. So, I get it.
I don't know what I even looked at.
A lot of it does start to look the same at the pace that they're putting out these things.
And here's the thing, real quick.
Yeah.
This is supposedly hundreds of years prior.
Yeah, the Old Republic, the High Republic. Everybody's stoned.
Well, how come everything looks the same?
Because like, a long time ago in a galaxy far away, something happened.
But wouldn't like technology change or evolve? Like, why does everything still look like present? If it's going to be from the past.
In Star Wars, the farther back you go, the better the technology gets. I don't know. It's a good question because we started with...
Like if we were to make a movie about the past in like setting in this setting,
yeah,
the technology would be different. Everything would look different, right? So why doesn't it look different there? I'm assuming Star Wars technology moves pretty quick. Stuff evolves.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
But it all looks the same.
That's all I got to say about Star Wars.
Rex, what do you think of this trailer? What do we learn besides the fact that when you win the Squid Game, you become a Jedi? I guess that's one of the prizes. Because that dude's in here.
Oh, yeah. He's a Squid Game guy. That's that guy.
That's that gotcha. Guy. Yeah. And it looks like one of his students goes to the dark side, right? And she's killing Jedi and shit.
Well, she has a beef with the Jedi. She thinks that the Jedi are fucking stupid.
They're liars.
And they need to be stopped. And maybe she's being manipulated by a Sith Lord.
Yes. Well, this is like the beginning of the Sith. Is this Geek Boner Floppy Jock? Are they still... did they do something right? Or is it still like...
I feel like it's... It's still playing by the Kennedy playbook, which everything else that has come out has been kind of playing by. And that's like, it takes a little bit of the edge off of it, but I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not like openly shitting on it. I genuinely like, I watched The Bad Batch. I'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay. There's that Tales of the Empire animated shorts that came out too.
I did not get to watch that yet, but I think that Star Wars is decent sci-fi fare. I don't think it is the top tier any longer. I think it lost a lot of its clout and a lot of its ability to be fresh lately. And it feels like it's just treading water. But I think it's still viable entertainment. Like, it's never going to have the glory that it once has unless, like, they do completely flip around and, like, do like three different Andors where they fucking somehow fire on all cylinders.
Yeah,
but
just give everything to that guy.
Well, it's just these stories seem to be very cookie cutter stories. And I think the fact that they've abandoned the books and the lore that people have grown to love over the years, the deep fandom that reads all the books and all knows all the lore and played all the video games, all that stuff they kind of set up and that was interconnected, they've thrown out. And I think that was a bad idea. I think it's always a bad idea to discard source material that has a built-in fan base. I feel like that's always stupid.
To replace it with. Because
then you're like, you're alienating the fans that supported it.
Yeah.
And then you're hoping that these new fans come along. But if you keep feeding them the same boring ass shit with the same exact theme, they're going to be like, I've seen this already. What am I going back for this? There's nothing more for me, like the casual person. You got people that are like, people love Godzilla. They're going to watch everything Godzilla because they love Godzilla. They don't care if it's stupid.
Yeah.
They're going to go watch it. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things.
It looks all right. We're going to watch the premiere and review it. I'm going to force everyone to watch it. I'm mildly interested in the setup of who that person is in the helmet at the end. I like seeing all these Jedis.
Well, none of these people are going to connect to any of the people that we know from the past.
Right.
At all.
This is like hundreds
unless
of
they
years.
Try to member bury it. And if they do, that's a forced
but
thing.
This is in the past, though. This is all in the past. So, but on the one hand, at least it's a new timeline of Star Wars they haven't given us.
I think Yoda could be involved, maybe.
Oh, yeah. He's really old. He could be involved. That's true.
That's the only person I could really see coming.
Oh,
oh yeah.
We might Yoda. See a Yoda. Yeah, he was like 900 years old or some shit.
Yeah.
So.
Or maybe that's the emperor. Like, I don't know. There are Sith that can, like, slow aging process. And
but to Anthony's point,
stuff.
Right? The helmet that dude is wearing looks a lot like what? Fucking Kylo Ren's helmet. So, like, it is a little samey at times.
Yeah, they're not inspired at all.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to do a show about the past,
yeah, why is
show
it,
me something yeah. that looks distinct from the past. Like, yeah. Show me that it's things are from the past, but there's nothing, unless you said that, Imran.
Yeah.
I looked at that and thought, oh, that's just happening right now.
Right.
Like everything else that happens.
Yeah.
In
yeah. No, I get that. It's very interesting.
But they don't have any idea of what it looked like in the past, or they don't have any sort of creative vision to
not only that, but Star Wars exists on a very multi-tiered, multi-technological world, right? You got the Ewoks that are living
galaxy.
In the forest. You got people living in the desert in tents. Then you go to a fucking Coruscant, and then there's like a big city and shit like that. And it's all neon. So it's like, it's all over the place. So it's hard to pinpoint what era of technology, because there's so much different eras going on within the galaxy in itself. So it is, it does make it hard to pinpoint the timeline.
Well, what they could do is if they had ships running on coal and they needed a bunch of wheat, I would know,
you need grain.
Zack Snyder,
that's the problem.
You know what universe this is from.
That's the problem is you need coal and you need wheat for no reason.
But you need fucking wheat from this one planet and you need coal to power this ship.
Of course.
This makes sense.
That's how science works.
Wonder if they start taking inspiration from Zack Snyder. You know, you'll know they've really run out of ideas.
Yes.
If they have coal borrowing their stuff.
Oh boy!
They start ramping slow-mo and everything.
They have a table where everyone's backstory is exactly the same, and they were all just going about their day before the Empire just ruined their life for no reason.
Hey, listen, I want to let you know a secret. The Empire fucked up my life, too.
What happened to you?
Oh, wait a minute.
Similar.
Isn't that the reason why we're revolting? Because they fuck up everyone's life?
Yeah.
Oh, this is completely irrelevant. We all know this. Can we move forward now?
It's funny you said that. Same thing happened to me. Who would have thought? What are the odds? Anyways, all right, moving on. That's June 4th.
Are you excited for it?
I don't know. It's Star Wars. We're gonna watch it. I'm slightly excited. Not a lot.
To me, it's baseline entertainment. I'll watch it.
It could surprise
I'm not
me.
Expecting much.
It could surprise me.
Because Ahsoka was the last thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was that any good?
It was fine.
It's mixed. Fine.
So we're gonna get baseline. That's the baseline. All right.
Yeah, it looks
it's
like
it's just base. Yeah. I think Mandalorian usually can ascend to heights. Andor really ascended to another height with a very simple storyline with the well-developed characters and did something very direct. I think that the Bad Batch actually, the season was actually pretty good.
See, I haven't watched the new season. I've watched the first season.
I'll talk about it and we'll explain.
Well, it was May the 4th, so I had the TV on and we're just playing Star Wars movies back to back. And I just left it on and it was rather enjoyable. Watching the original trilogy is still fun. It'll always be there.
Yeah.
So, you know. But then, yeah, Rise of Skywalker was on, and I forgot how fucking ridiculous that movie is. It's very confusing. It's confusing.
It's so bad.
It's pretty bad. It's probably the worst one. Okay, moving on. Here's something that's a little more fun, a little more adult, a little more bloody. The Boys, season four official trailer. This also coming out starting June 13th. I think it'll be a weekly drop here. Anthony, how excited are you for this? They catch us up a little. I'd forgotten, but now I remember. Billy Butcher.
Yeah, I did forget some stuff, so I'm glad they caught us up on some stuff. I saw in the trailer that there was a character from Gen V.
Yes, the girl. Kate. The blonde is definitely there in the background. I think that season of Gen V is going to be important because remember...
Well, because he found the... He's got the... could kill soup, the virus.
The virus. So, after he has it, he ends up with...
Yeah, so it's tied together.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Boys is always delivered. It does a good job of tying in real world... feel into a superhero show. So yeah, I'm pumped for it. I'm curious to see how much longer they have left, but I would like to see if what's his name Butcher finally get Homelander. You know, it's been building for years.
Yes.
And I'd like for him to beat his ass one of these times.
Is he a soup now or did that go away?
He's dying? But
no, didn't they get that, didn't they go away? Didn't they take that out of him?
I think they did.
I think it was like a temporary compound V.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad shit, crazy things in this trailer, though, which I really appreciated. You notice Homelander's back, which my question is...
He's back. He's always around.
No. Didn't he got... Remember? Not Homelander. Sorry. Black Noir.
Oh, yes.
Black Noir's black, who was violently murdered.
Well, he is black, too, yes.
Yes, he's black and he's back. Is he black? He is black. Well, who is this Black Noir? He was violently murdered by Homelander last season, graphically. So
what happened there? Why did he murder him?
Remember, there was a little face-off in the office, and he knew that he was... I forget exactly what happened. He betrayed him. And
he drank all the milk.
He drank... Is that what happened? I think that's what happened. I can't remember, but there was a moment where Black Noir is like, oh, I'm definitely dead.
I need a good recap video.
He found out what I did, and I'm dead. So Billy's dying, and the son seems to be with Homelander now, their shared son. That scene is crazy where the kid throws a body at the building. What the fuck is happening there? You got the two Ashleys, which is hilarious. The girl from Gen V is definitely in there. Jeffrey Dean Morgan seems like he's on the side of the Boys, also hates the soups. And Homelander essentially telling them they're going to hate you, but we need to make a change.
I enjoyed the chickens bursting out of people and then being like bulletproof.
Dude, what the fuck is going on there? That chicken erupted from that dude. And then there's like flying sheep that are trying to kill them. I was like, what the fuck? Chop, chop, motherfucker.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
That's great. That is definitely some of the Boy shit. Ruggs, what else did you like about this trailer? Are you excited?
Well... I do think that the fact that they have this virus that could kill the soups, that makes it interesting. There's a glimmer of hope for them. And I think that's why Butcher's using it to make everybody come back and rally around him, you know, to one last try because they finally got one leg up on them.
Yeah.
So it's going to, that already sets the stakes. There's like, okay, they have an opportunity here. Let's see. So it automatically makes me interested in what's happening.
Yeah, because then they all like break apart at the end of last season. So it's going to be great to see everybody back together.
They break apart? I really got to watch.
I don't remember. I remember. It was all with Victoria Newman, right? What was the main? I don't fucking remember.
Well, it was the whole thing was they took the bad Captain America off ice to fight Homelander. But then
soldier.
They realized he was just as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then by the end, Homelander's son is actually rolling with him over Butcher.
And the Deep was going through shit, and A-Train was going through shit.
Right.
There was a lot of subplots.
It looks like there's like a new chick in this one, too.
Yeah, I didn't know who that girl was. That one shot of Anthony Starr laughing like a fucking Joker maniacally is amazing. Like, he is so good in this role. I can't wait to see him just be a bigger psychopath. There's a lot of blood, a lot of shit going on in this trailer. It's fucking great.
You know they're always going to bring it.
Yeah. It's the best superhero shit on TV.
At some point, you will be a little slightly grossed out.
Yeah.
Yes. There's going to be some graphic shit. It's always good. June 13th. Okay, moving on. Last trailer. Real short one. A teaser for our favorite Cobra Kai season 6.
Geek Boner.
I played that already. Very, very short. Very short teaser. Here's the important thing. Season 6 is its final season. It will consist of 15 episodes. And here's how they're going to release it. They're going to release, I guess, the first 5. They're calling part 1 on July 18th. Part 2, November 28th, and then the final episodes, they just said 2025. No date. Interesting release strategy. We will talk about that, but first, Anthony, back to you. How geeked are you for the final season of Cobra Kai?
So I watched a trailer. I didn't know what to expect out of it, and I'm pretty pumped. I mean, I've always liked Cobra Kai. I'm glad that they're saying this is the final season.
Yeah, it's time.
And I was pleasantly surprised to see that they're going 15 episodes instead of 10, and they're doing 3 parts. I like that. So makes me think they've got something really epic planned.
Grand finale, they're saying.
Yeah, I love how they still use clips from the original movie, even in the short teaser, right? You're never going to forget that. Ruggs, what do you think? What do you think of this? You think it's a good release strategy, or... Part of me feels like it's almost too far spread out.
But yeah, it is a little bit, but I think they're trying to stretch so they can get, they want to get something on before people completely forget about this.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
You mentioned last week, it's been like almost 2 years since the last season.
Yeah, it's like people are like sick of waiting for it.
And look at what happened with Fallout. Great show. Everybody loved it. Is anybody talking about it anymore? Not really.
No, because, yeah, you have to stay on top of it. You got to like either release it piecemeal and let it like build and then write like 6 months later, have another season.
See, 6 months, that it seems a little bit far between, like, I would put it out like a month or two after the first 5 because you get people talking about it. Kind of dies down and then you hit them with the next part. July is
trying to stretch 2025.
Yeah, they're trying to stretch the buzz.
Yeah, try to get it.
Well, not only that, I think they're not even done filming yet.
Possibly. And then, yeah, and then they'll get the buzz going into next year, and then that fucking movie comes out in March, which would be very strange. But I can't wait. I can't wait to see.
The fucking guy's 70 years old. It's crazy.
I was watching that, like, trying to take a good look at the characters to be like, how much older do they look?
They don't look now. Too much older. The one kid has grown. The little kid with the curls.
Is Chosen still alive?
Yeah.
Didn't he die? Didn't he get hit with a sword or something? Didn't he? Wasn't there a sword fight at the end of that one?
I think he got cut up, but I think they took him to the doctor.
He got stabbed and fell in the pool, right? For a second, or
he
was
got
that?
Cut up, yeah,
but then he fucking rises from the ashes like a phoenix.
So he is alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that trailer had a lot of characters. I think we're in for some surprises. I wouldn't be surprised if we see what's her face?
Hillary Swank.
Gonna get the Swank? It's the last person.
I mean, that's all you're missing, really.
It's the last person. You might as well get the Swank. Kreese is still out there doing something. He needs to fix his name. So
and you gotta get what's his name? Smith.
Jaden Smith. Yeah. Do you really need Jaden Smith? I don't know about that.
No, we do not need Jaden.
You don't, but
you really want to be
I didn't think we needed, what's his name?
Yeah.
The guy from the third one.
Mike Barnes.
The main villain.
Oh, Terry. What the hell was his name?
Great villain. He was great.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was crazy. let's segue into some casting news. Speaking of Cobra Kai, remember Stingray? Is his name Stingray?
Yeah.
Paul Walter Hauser having quite a week. He's in a bunch of things, but the big thing here is he has been added in a mysterious role to the Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, shit.
Paul Walter Hauser. Look this guy up. Oh. This guy is the new Philip Seymour Hoffman. I love this guy.
Well, he was in Cobra Kai.
He's been in I, Tonya.
He's like the fat dude.
He was in the Richard Jewell movie. He's the bigger dude with mustache. He's hilarious. He could do drama.
Was he called the Scorpion? What is his name?
No.
Stingray?
It was Stingray, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
he was in Black Klansman. He won an Emmy for Black Bird. Paul Walter Hauser. He's great.
He was in the Frank Grillo show known as Kingdom.
Oh, he was in Kingdom?
Yeah, he was great in that.
He was in Bupkis. Dude, you know what? He's got two projects coming up. He is in, they are rebooting Naked Gun with Leslie Nielsen in the Leslie Nielsen role. That's right? Leslie Nielsen?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, sorry. Liam Neeson in the Leslie Nielsen role. He's in that reboot as he's playing George Kennedy, the captain in the Naked Gun reboot. And he has been cast as Chris Farley in this Chris Farley biopic directed by Josh Gad. And I guess I can kind of see it. He's going to act his ass off that one. I mean, obviously.
Wait, what did you think he's going to be? Say that one.
No, he's playing Chris Farley in the Chris Farley biopic upcoming.
Oh, okay.
It's directed by Josh Gad. Do you see him as a Chris Farley?
No, he's a completely different fat guy altogether.
It's a different fat. No, you're right. He's a different fat guy. Like Josh Gad is one type. Paul Walter Hauser, different type. Farley was one of a kind. There's nobody like Farley. There's no fat guy like Farley ever. Anthony, you've seen this guy, right? You know this guy.
Paul Walter Hauser.
Paul Walter Hauser.
Yeah.
I can see Jack Black doing Chris Farley more than Paul Walter Hauser.
I would cast Jack Imran Black. as
Farley? Chris Farley. Oh, that's a huge compliment. It's an impressive role to take. Jack Black's a little old now.
Similar Husky Ben.
Yeah.
He's a little too old for it, but... He's like, he's 50.
Look, Hauser's a really good actor. I really think that's going to be like a make-or-break fucking role for him. It could be like Oscar-winning or just a his heart.
If he does well with it, I'm sure he'll get
but
a lot of...
I think he can pull it off. He's very good. He just needs to transform himself.
What's his role in Fantastic Four?
So, we don't know. Nobody knows. My guess, Mole Man. He's got to be Mole Man. Look at him. He looks like the fucking Mole Man. Jeff Snyder also said on the hot mic that he heard that the draft of the Fantastic Four opens with them fighting the Mole Man. I think it's just going to be like a quick cameo in the beginning of the movie. They're fighting Mole Man as they establish, like, here's the Fantastic Four.
We're spending too much time on this.
Or is he the voice of Herbie? I don't know. But this cast is great, right? You got Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, Ebon Boss Bacharach, and Julia Garner, and now Paul Walter Hauser.
We forgot about the Silver Surfer.
And Julia Garner, LaBelle, and maybe even Lakeith Stanfield. We don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah. Paul Walter Hauser. Moving on.
He's still talking about it.
Paul Walter Hauser? Anyone? I'm going to make him. He's the next Philip Seymour Hoffman. Let's talk about Giancarlo Esposito.
Wow, really? You're going that far?
No way.
Give him time. Give him time.
What? No, the next Seymour, whatever Hoffman is fucking Fat Matt Damon.
Jesse Plemons. Oh, you're right. You're right. Jesse Plemons is the next Philip Seymour.
Yeah, he's definitely
Jesse
the next
Plemons.
One.
Yeah, he's there already.
So Paul Walter Hauser is, I don't know who he's the next. He's
the next Chris Farley.
Look, I like, he's the next Chris Farley.
He's himself.
Yes.
He's cut his own path. Yeah. I realize, he's completely his own thing.
I'm with him. I commend him for his efforts. Giancarlo Esposito has also been cast as something in the MCU.
Oh, shit.
According to him, he hasn't said what it is, but he said it's not what you think. We talked about how I think he wanted to play Professor X, but he said it's going to be, we're going to hear about it sooner than later, and he said it's better than you can imagine.
Is he going to be Trask?
What is that? What is, you know, that term sooner rather than later?
Yes. What does that mean exactly?
No, I know what it means. Yes. I know why people say it, but it doesn't really mean anything.
You'll find out sooner than later.
What is sooner than later? Like,
tell
everything
me anything.
Technically is later.
Yes.
Or anything can be sooner.
Anything can be sooner.
Anything can be later. Like, anything in the future is later. So to say sooner rather than later.
Well, I like that at least I can expect it sooner. So it just let me know. to expect than later. Sooner rather than later.
The
yes.
advertising talk works on Imran. You see,
I fall for all these jingles. What phone number do I have to call to order this? I'll do it. but look, I think the other question I had. He's done a lot of great television, right? The Boys, Breaking Bad, The Mandalorian, Sky's Everywhere. Now he's in the MCU. I think you use him in a TV show. I don't know. Would you, or instead of putting him in a movie.
Oh, no. Put him in a movie.
Yeah.
The TV shows are trash for the most part. You don't want to associate him with that.
I mean, he's in The Boys. That's they, how
they shouldn't even be doing TV shows.
No. There's more TV than movies right now. It's the only thing holding everything together. Ain't
well, I guess the X-Men stuff, but I'm talking about the live action.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what role they've got for him. Yeah.
And it could be like an original character. Well, they said it's a new character from the MCU that has not been in the movies. So
I don't know.
Maybe it's an X-Men related. It's not Professor X.
Maybe he's the new Black Panther.
Sure. Why not? Look,
well, he kind of looks like Chadwick, so yeah, let's go with that.
It's a good talent to pull in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's a good talent.
We got Paul Walter
sooner
Hauser,
rather than later. No, that term all of a sudden frustrated me.
What the hell does that mean? So that makes
what if he's Mr. Sinister?
In live action? So what? I feel like San Diego Comic Con will hear something. Does that mean sooner rather than later, or is that actually?
Oh, here's a jock and nerd first. I will be at San Diego Comic Con this year.
What?
Yeah.
The whole
a jock and nerd exclusive.
When the fuck did this happen?
I bought him with some friends last year, and I forgot to even mention it to you guys. I'm mentioning it live on the show.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's amazing. And when is it? July, right? July,
yeah, Julinus.
The Julinus. Oh shit, that's great. This is the second one you've been to, right?
Yeah. So you'll get a live. You'll get the instant reaction when I come back. And
are you going to Hall H?
I think I'll probably I might do a Hall H day. We'll see how long the wait is and if what's actually.
This is like Lollapalooza. Like, what year did you go the last time?
2011. I went when they had. The Hall H, the big movie that was shown was The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
Whoa, shit. Okay. So it'll be really interesting to see how different the vibe is.
Yeah. I can actually tell you if they're like catering to the regular fan or the what.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Of course you can.
When was the last time you went to Comic-Con?
Was San Diego or just in general?
Any Comic-Con.
Any Comic-Con.
Any Comic-Con? I think I went to one last year. I think was it last year? Maybe 2 years. I don't remember. I saw you there, Imran.
So we went to C2E2.
That one.
I think that was like 2 years ago. Actually, I didn't even tell you guys. Last weekend, I went to C2E2 with my sister because she had got some passes from like a comedy show thing she did, and she'd never been to one. So I was like, let's go. And we went, and we walked around, and then we left. It was fine. It was very busy. It was
crowded on the Saturday.
Even mention it because it's I don't know.
Look at this. You're keeping secrets. I'm keeping secrets. What else you got to tell us?
Nothing.
What else
there's
is going
nothing
on?
To Rugs, mention.
Tell, you tell us Rugs, something.
What have you been up to that you haven't told us?
You
got dead bodies in there? What's going on?
I've been collecting. I've started a new collection.
Is it teeth? It's teeth, isn't it?
Thumbs.
it's soiled panties.
Oh,
everyone.
Jesus Christ. Oh. Yeah, you can make a lot of money with those.
For old ladies, though.
Yeah, you can make a lot of money. Yeah. What I'm told. Okay,
yeah, go to a nursing home. You know.
Check out Rug Boys OnlyFans to get.
Okay.
All right.
Something gross. All right. I'll try to think of something grosser than that. I win.
A lot of big revelations to end this whole first half. It's fantastic. Let's take a break here. As you guys think of all those things.
Play some promos.
We're gonna play some promos. And we're gonna come back and talk about a stuntman movie right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
What's up? This is Brian, and I'm the host of Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. That's right, a podcast dedicated to my favorite TV show, Parks and Rec. Every week, I discuss my favorite things about the show, which include character breakdowns, episode rewatches, and other random facts and tidbits about the show. You can find me on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast and listen wherever you get your podcast now. You will literally love it.
I'm Imran.
And I'm Sophia.
I'm the brother.
And I'm the sister. And we are watching a show about cousins.
We're your hosts for Dance of Joy, a Perfect Strangers rewatch podcast.
We grew up watching the 80s hit sitcom, and now we'd like you to join us every week as we rediscover our love for our favorite TV cousins, Balky and Larry.
You can find our show at danceofjoypod.com and on all major podcast platforms. Now we are so happy, Sophia. We do the Dance of Joy.
Imran, this is a podcast. They can't see us.
Oh, bo, bo.
Doc and Nerd Podcast.
Listener, if you enjoy the show, you've been enjoying the show, I think you should join our Patreon fan club. Visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Jock and Nerd.
And you can give back on a monthly or annual basis and get stuff you get access to, an exclusive podcast feed where the shows come out early. There's bonus content, instant reactions to movies. You can join us on our monthly Discord hangout. May's Discord will be May 16th, 8 p.m. Central. All of that is on our Patreon page, on our website. Lots of other fun stuff over at jockandnerd.com/Patreon. Check it out today. Okay, let's get to the review. We are going to be reviewing the latest David Leitch movie, the alleged opening to the summer blockbuster season, The Fall Guy. Here's your spoiler alerts.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
This movie loosely based on a TV show from the 80s. A show I remember.
That's right.
I remember watching. It ran 1981 to 1986, starring Lee Majors, Heather Thomas. My dad loved this show. He also loved $6 Million Man that featured Lee Majors. So those shows make me think of him. But I absolutely remember watching this.
Can we slow down a second?
Yeah.
So Lee Majors was the bionic man, the $6 Million Man.
Absolutely.
All right. So it was a show about a guy who was a cyborg who had like robot parts and he was like a superhero.
Oh, yes.
And he could fucking fuck shit up. And he worked for the government and did crazy stuff. So now he ages out of being like that role. So now he's the fall guy. He's like rumpled up old stuntman. And he does like he basically is a bounty
hunter.
He's
a bounty hunter when he doesn't have work.
Yeah. So like that show had a big pedigree because he was in it. And it lasted for five seasons.
However, I don't know how many people past our generation actually even know this was a TV show.
No clue.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Yeah. So that's part of the problem. We will get to here on Rotten Tomatoes, the movie currently 83%, 6.9 out of 10 tomato meter, 87% for the audience. Very favorable here. And now here's where the problems happen. The movie's budget, $130 million. And like I just said, this is supposed traditionally the opening of the summer movie blockbuster season. Last year, this time we had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I believe, opened to like $118 million. It was crazy. This year we have The Fall Guy. This movie opens to $28.5 million.
Oh, shit.
Not good. It was projected 30 to like 40. And didn't even make the projections. Currently, worldwide, it's sitting at 64 million. So I found this stat. It seems very interesting. The first time in 19 years that Hollywood summer season did not start with a superhero or a sequel. You just mentioned last year, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 started the summer. But first time in 19 years, Marvel and the franchises have been ruling this date. But something happened. There wasn't a lot of people at my theater.
Not too many at mine either on a Thursday night.
And, you know, you could probably think of a dozen reasons why this happened, but it's not good for them. And maybe the movie cost too much money. This movie, directed by David Leitch. Now, this guy's got a great story. Started as a stuntman. Doubled Brad Pitt like six times. He's Brad Pitt's double in Fight Club. He does double Jean-Claude Van Damme in a movie. Matt Damon, a bunch of other people. Co-directs John Wick with Chad Stahelski, right? Then he directs Atomic Blonde, Bullet Train, the Hobbs and Shaw movie, Deadpool 2. and brings us to Fall Guy, the movie written by Drew Pearce, Glenn A. Larson, starring, of course, the hottest people in Hollywood right now. Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers, Emily Blunt as Jody. You got Aaron Taylor Johnson as Tom Ryder, Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso as Gail, Stephanie Hsu as Alma Milan. Winston Duke is in this as Dan. And anybody else notable? A bunch of other people. That's your main cast. Two of the hottest people. Also, that surprised me. I was like, this is a Gosling movie, and it only made $28.5 million. Very crazy. Yeah,
that is a little, I mean, that is kind of surprising. I would say I didn't feel like there was a ton of hype for this movie coming in.
They spent a lot of money advertising.
There was a lot of commercials everywhere.
They did. I don't really know what the reason is. I mean, you would think I think this movie was banking on Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
You know, just being good looking people. That said, I mean, it based on something that most of this generation doesn't know.
That's part of the problem, is maybe this wasn't the best IP.
And like, I didn't really, when I saw the trailers, I thought they were good, but I didn't really, nothing hooked me on like, I didn't even know I didn't even know when I went into this movie what I was walking into.
Right. You don't really know what the story is going to be. So having said that, let's find out. Anthony, what happens in this PG-13, 2 hour, 6 minute, The Fall Guy?
Yeah, this is about a stuntman played by Ryan Gosling, who is in love with a lady. I forget the names of the characters.
Jody.
And he's a stuntman for a famous actor in this movie, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, has an accident on screen and goes away for a bit, but that gets called back into a role to be this guy's stuntman again, which reunites him with the lady that he fell in love with way back, who he's not spoken to in years, Emily Blunt's character, Jody, who's now a director on a big budget movie. And a bunch of craziness ensues because no one knows really why he's there, why he got invited back to be part of this movie.
There's a bunch of twists. It's there's a little bit of everything in here. So, Anthony, we've been watching a lot of action movies, all different kinds, it seems.
Yes.
This one is an even more unique category. What did you think coming out of this? I guess you would call it an action rom-com.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's probably the most important appropriate title for this, an action rom-com. Like that, it tries to be three things at once: romantic, comedy, action. Yeah, that makes sense. What I think of it, as mentioned, I didn't really know what I was walking into, and the plot had the first part of the movie, I thought it was really like a comedy romance, romance comedy.
Yep, it's heavy rom-com.
Then it becomes sort of an action movie, and then it becomes sort of this like
murder mystery.
Murder mystery. There's a lot of twists and turns. I definitely appreciate it being kind of an ode to stuntmen.
Yeah.
You know, you get the whole like Jackie Chan-esque bit at the end.
Absolutely.
With the bloopers and stuff. So that was cool. I think David Leitch is pretty talented in terms of like shooting good action. I think for me, the movie was just all right. I don't know that I will. This is a movie that I'll remember forever. And I think a big part of that is, one, I didn't really fully jive with the story and the way it was like twisting and turning. And I think the biggest part, though, is it's just not that funny for me.
No.
So
humor wasn't hated.
I laughed at some stuff, but I just didn't find it to be this like super funny movie. So I think a lot of that, you know, because the romance stuff is played more for laughs than like, it's not really that serious.
Yeah.
So if it's not funny, at least for me, it's hard for me to fully jump on board with the movie. So yeah, I mean, there were funny bits. I enjoyed when she's beating him up in like an Ewok costume. She doesn't know that it's him.
Yeah.
You know, there are some funny moments, but there is some good action, but I don't think it's like, even though it's combining all those three things, I don't think it can really hang its hat on anything other than being more of just an ode to stuntmen. So I was kind of a mixed bag on this movie.
Did you like the stunts at least?
Some of the stunts I didn't realize were actually real stunts.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. We're like, so I appreciated some of that. This shit is crazy.
Yeah, I appreciated some of the stunts.
Ruggs, what'd you think? Did the stunts make it do it for you?
I feel like I was entertained, but I did feel the movie was long. People are audibly snoring in the theater.
Jesus, oh, really?
There wasn't a lot of people there, but a lot of them were snoring.
Yeah,
I felt like in the middle of the movie, I was like, this is really not going anywhere. Like, what are we doing here? The Fall Guy is about a guy who's like a bounty hunter and trying to make money and shit on the side. And that's not what this movie is about.
Yeah, they did their own thing.
They did their own thing. And which I figured that they would. But I don't think it's better. It reminded me a lot of like Ford Fairlane and movies like of the 80s and 90s that were like just not received well because of this. They're inherent trying to blend too many things together.
It's very throwback. It reminds me of 80s television also when it was like romance, action, murder, mystery, everything all at once.
I think that nothing really, everything's there, but nothing really clicks.
I agree.
So like the romance is there, but it doesn't really click like as good as it should. The comedy is there, but it doesn't really click as good as it should. And the action is there, but it's sparse, kind of sparsely. And it's always like that same guy with the guy with the beard. And it seems like, for some reason, it just was the same guy and the same little team of bad guys. That he's running away from all the time. So it got like almost like repetitive. At least John Wick fights different guys.
Yeah, the guy with the red beard was the main security guy. Right.
So it's just like it seemed very repetitive.
Yeah.
And
there's no stakes.
Yeah. So it didn't really work. I mean, the stunts were great, but like the stakes and the variety of bad guys and how like when the first scene happens and he's in the club,
yeah,
and he's tripping out, I was like, oh shit, here we go. The movie's about to blast off.
Yeah.
And then that scene ends, and then okay, now nothing's happening.
Right. It never has that tone again.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I liked it. There's some really cool stuff in it, and there's some good chemistry going on. There's fun to be had. I had a good time, but like I ultimately these like I hate when the things are reviewed so well. Like this is the greatest movie of the summer. Yeah. It's such a great fun time.
Yeah.
It is fun if you want to have fun, but you can't also say it's the greatest movie you've ever seen. It's a fun movie. It tries, but it doesn't quite coalesce. It doesn't quite gel together. If you're there just for fun, you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I largely agree with both you guys. I had fun. It was entertaining. It is slightly forgettable, but it is one of those.
It's a little long, too.
It is too long. It's definitely should have been a 90-minute movie. It would have been fucking perfect, right? It didn't need to be 2 hours. It is the kind of movie they don't make anymore, though, which I appreciated. A kind of a throwback to like star-driven instead of story-driven. It's entirely about Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt a little bit, even though like the back half she's not in it.
Like,
as
what
much.
Movie does this like Night and Day?
Or like is it like Romancing the Stone? Remember when they used to make shit like that? Like that works better. But I agree, their chemistry was pretty good. I thought it would be better, but the whole thing doesn't kind of click. But the second half, Gosling's great. The second half, the stunts shine for me. I thought the stunts were amazing. And, you know,
that's the best part of the movie.
And it's a very meta. It's a movie about making a movie. I think it's hilarious that Metal Storm looks like the fucking Rebel Moon set. Like, is she making it looks better than Rebel Moon, in fact.
No, it's all like Dune. They were doing
a little bit of Dune. Music. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so like, let's like that. Yeah. Let's run this by other rom-coms like Ghosted that we just saw. Right.
This is better than Ghosted.
What about
horrible.
Argyle?
This is better than Argyle.
This is better than Argyle.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's not a it's like not a good enough rom-com where I'm like, this is a rom-com I'd recommend, but it's not a good enough like silly action movie like I don't know, like think of an Austin Powers or something like that. It's not that.
It's trying to be that.
And it's not like a raunchy comedy like a Pineapple Express.
Right.
Like it's kind of like a lot of little things, but nothing Unless you want to like say, hey, it's an ode to stuntmen, then great.
Yeah.
But it's not, it doesn't hang its hat on anything in particular. And it's trying to be a bunch of different things. And I don't think it serves anything like at a high level.
The story is a little convoluted. The twists are like, okay, now Gail has a gun. Great. Okay. She was in on it. Well, yeah. The whole
it's
time.
Like he has to save her, he has to figure out what happened to the, Taylor Johnson's character.
Well, yeah. If you think about the story, it's ridiculous. Like
it
it's
is.
Dumb.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's beyond dumb.
Yes. Don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the stunts because they were great. Do you know they set a Guinness World Record in this movie for cannon rolls performed in a car? Most cannon rolls, you see it in the movie on the beach, 8 cannon rolls beating out the record previously held by Casino Royale. I think they did like 7.5. And
that's cool. Don't get me wrong. That's cool.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like those awesome stunts are wasted in this movie because the movie isn't really. It's not that memorable.
It's not memorable. You're absolutely right. It's forgettable. But it's kind of like a Jackie Chan movie, right? Where like the story is just stringing these stunts together. Like there's a little police storyness in it.
Yeah.
And I love seeing in the credit montage them actually getting thrown through glass, doing all the windows. It's hilarious that she sets them on fire over and over again.
That was funny.
She's mad at him and they work out their feelings in public on set. That's hilarious. But as far as humor, I will agree with you, Anthony. I couldn't really remember any funny lines. It was just like their chemistry was awkward. Like him crying to Taylor Swift. That's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it was funny. Like
there was moments of funniness there. There was definitely some good, but not a lot of the banter landed, but the situational stuff did.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's cute where she's like doing the finger guns and she's holstering it. Whatever, I saw it in trailers. Let's talk about that scene with the dump truck and the fucking awesome dog that speaks French, Jean-Claude. Jean-Claude was a fucking bad. I mean, not only you have car stunts, boat stunts, you got dog stunts, you got people on fire.
I like Jean-Claude. I felt like they went to the well too many times, though, on the nutsack.
He kept going for the nuts, dude. That is if that's a move you have in your pocket, you're going to use that when you need it. So that scene where they're on the dump truck on the bridge, going across the bridge, that's not blue screen. I saw if you, Corridor Crew has a Stuntmen React episode they just put up with David Leitch. Talking about this movie, that they filmed that on the bridge in Australia. The whole movie is filmed in Australia.
Oh, okay.
So it was, he had wires. He had a harness on, but he was actually being dragged along. And then that whole sequence is pretty cool. The fight and it's spinning and they're fucking destroying shit.
What are your guys' thoughts? Because Ryan Gosling's done a number of action movies now at this point. What are your thoughts on Ryan Gosling, the action star?
I think it's okay.
I think he pulls it off, and they show you that it's him doing a lot of these stunts too, right? The way it's filmed, because David Leitch always brings that, like he trains his fucking people, like he trained Keanu and Charlize Theron, and clearly they had trained him to look like he's a badass and he's been fighting for a while. I think it always works. Like I love the way he shoots this hand-to-hand shit. He's very good at it. It reminds me of him in Drive a little bit, I guess. As an action guy.
Well, yeah, he's kind of coming into his own and he's doing the action stuff. And
oh, The Gray Man. That was okay.
He was in The Gray Man. That was a big action movie. And that was also a comedy, wasn't
it?
The
Nice Guys is a very similar action comedy.
There's not as much action in The Nice Guys, though. Like, this is way more of an act. This is more like they're trying to do it on a True Lies level, but.
Yeah.
That's what it
kind of feels like.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison. True Lies. Because True Lies has kind of got that like.
Yeah.
It's not taking itself as seriously. And that this movie is definitely like that.
But everything works better in that.
Well, that's fucking Cameron. Cameron knows how to do that and balance that somehow. It's fucking
genius. I think David Leitch is talented.
Yeah.
But I think his movies always feel a little either like almost a little too convoluted. At times.
Yes.
Like I felt the same way watching Atomic Blonde where I'm like, really good action, but the story's really like gets really fucking weird. Well, and not weird in like weird shifts or weird like twists and stuff where it's like Wait, this just got too complicated for some reason.
I feel like Bullet Train is similar. Bullet Train is fun. He's got some great scenes, but then it's a little forgettable. I don't know what it is. Like, the whole thing doesn't click. Rugs, what do you think of?
I mean, he even did Deadpool 2, and like, no one, people all like Deadpool 2, but no one talks about it.
It's a good movie, but nobody talks about it. But
I mean, Hobbs and Shaw, like,
yeah, that one,
right?
They're running down the wall for like 2 hours, running up, running down the building.
I feel like he's got potential, but I don't know what it is. He keeps kind of getting these very on the borderline movies to do that, like, either could be real. There's no home runs here.
No, but other than the John Wick, which he doesn't get credit for.
Yeah, he co-directed. I do think this is it makes sense that he makes this movie. Like, I like this path leading to this movie, him having this stuntman background. Well,
the weird thing, though, was I do agree with that, but like, through the first third of the movie, I'm going, wait a minute, is David Leitch just making a romantic comedy? Did I just get like fucking, yeah. Am I having a prank played on me?
There's
what is this?
There's a couple of stunts. There's not a lot. He gets set on fire. You see him fall.
I literally walked into the movie and I thought it would be like this stuntman gets roped into this big action film. And it is kind of that, but it's not really that.
So the plot is, let's give away the spoilers, is that he gets called to this movie because he's the patsy.
He's right. So, yeah, he's a literal fall guy and the stuntman fall guy. Yes.
So they resurrect his career so he can come and take the blame for the star that he doubles.
Yes.
Commits a murder.
He accidentally kills that dude while drunk. There's a video of it and they're going to frame him. And Gail, the producer, has been in on it the whole time.
So she's trying to save her actor to get the movie done. But then, like, the movie in the background is just so stupid.
It's fucking
and Rebel they're treating Moon. It like, oh, my God, yes. It's like Lawrence of Arabia.
It's a big deal in, yes.
And I think that works against the movie a little bit, too. The fact that they're doing this Zack Snyder fucking ridiculous movie and they're acting like all this is like, you know, like it's life or death to make this fucking movie.
It's kind of hilarious, yeah.
And it makes it even more absurd.
The stakes aren't, they're not huge. She's trying to save her job. She's trying to not go to jail.
Yeah, I mean, if you even, like, put any sort of thought into the plot line for him being the patsy and getting framed,
and
it all falls apart.
Yeah, and Tom told Ryder told him it was his reason he had the accident 18 months earlier, which I was like, okay, what? That doesn't even make any sense.
Then they cast Jason Momoa at the end.
So there's a couple of great cameos and cute things. But at the end, when they do premiere, they mention San Diego Comic-Con Hall H. I kind of love that. They premiere the movie, and it's Momoa in the role. Which is hilarious.
So all the stunts that he did can't be used.
Yes, because there's deepfake technology used. This is what I didn't understand. How do they get that video? Because they shot the phone. I thought it was destroyed, yet they still get the video and put it out there. It didn't make any sense.
They're like, oh, we need the phone.
Yeah. No, they did it. They did it. They don't have the video.
No, they had the video. They put it out with his.
They put it on. Yeah, they put it. They deepfaked him.
Yes.
Yeah.
They fucking deepfaked him.
It was weird.
I like the meta shit, though, about scanning, you know, the people and being on set and all that. That's what it feels like when you're doing stunts, I guess.
I think there's a lot there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a big movie buff, they're doing a lot of things and a lot of winks and nods, and they're quoting other movies. And in that sense, it is kind of, you know, fun if you're into it on that level.
I mean, I love he was wearing a Miami Vice jacket and he does the boat stunt and fakes his death, which is what stunt he does at the show. Like, that straight up TV shit is fucking great. It's straight up Miami Vice shit. Ruggs, did you notice they used the $6 million man sound once real quick? Did I imagine that? They used that.
No, yeah. They did. They used the bionic. They used the bionic sound.
It was like, I was like, oh shit, they used the sound.
And you see the extra scene where Lee Majors comes in at the end?
Post-credit scene. Where Lee Majors, Heather Thomas show up as actual cops. Love that. That was great. And then the two get blown up for some reason. I don't remember why the helicopter crashes. but the end is, the end stunt's pretty great. And that plan is they're going to trick Tom Ryder into recording his own confession while doing this fucking car jump. That all seems great. And then them trying to stop everybody else with the smoke bombs and the fucking chase. I don't know. Fun.
I don't know. I feel like the fact that all this stuff that happens, like, it would be great if a lot of stuff that happens went into the movie, but none of the stuff that we saw gets in the movie. And I guess that's the joke. But then it kind of takes away the stakes a little bit. And I don't know. I feel like that whole movie backdrop was not the fact that they had to reshoot everything anyway and whatever. Yes, it would just seem like it lessened the stakes a little bit for me. But
well, and then they end up together.
And then the movie was so dumb.
Happy ending for Colt and Jody.
Yeah, they get together. Why do they like each other so much? We don't know.
You know, the chemistry was okay. It was just okay.
I mean, she's a good look. She looked great in the movie.
Yeah,
Again, it goes back to, for me, if the movie is not taking itself seriously, which it clearly isn't, it has to make me laugh. And it just, for me, I wasn't dying laughing throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, I can't even remember what like the biggest laugh was.
There were some cute scenes.
Yeah,
But yeah, it just didn't feel. If you're gonna go comedy, comedy subjective. So I'm sure some people really thought it was funny. I just didn't think it was that funny.
I feel like Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz did a movie called Night and Day.
Yeah.
And it got panned because it was just so forgettable. It wasn't like a bad movie. It was completely serviceable. It was, you know, it's about a guy, girl who gets tangled up with a spy and has to now fucking accompany him on all this shit. But very much like Argyle, very much like one of these movies that we've seen before. And it's one of those movies. And that didn't do well either. Night and Day didn't do well. It got critically panned. Yeah. And it's just, if you're going to make a movie like that, that's what's going to happen. I just think that the only person who could pull it off is James Cameron in True Lies. And that's because he had Arnold. And Arnold was like when you have Arnold and Cameron together, you could do anything. You can do anything.
It's true.
So, what's the best movie like this in this ilk of like an action comedy?
Action comedy.
I would say True Lies.
Yeah, that's one. It's one of them. But if you're talking action rom-com, like, are there other
action rom-com?
Are there a lot of other movies that are action rom-coms? I can't think of any aside from Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile. Kind of stuff.
Action rom-coms.
You got
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I would thought about Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah.
That was a bit of a comedy,
Scott
right?
Scott Pilgrim, you can kind of put in this.
Yeah,
category.
This is kind of like a Scott Pilgrim right? type. Yeah.
Yeah, Argyle, you got.
Argyle. Was there The Lost City? You could definitely put in this category.
The Lost City.
True Romance?
Slightly. It's not really an action movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not really an action movie.
That's a fucking
yeah. There's not
movie.
A lot of these. I'm looking at these right now. There's not a lot of
because they don't do well usually.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like look. These are all the ones like Killers with Ashton Kutcher, where he's a killer and he's got a girlfriend that didn't do well.
What about Natural Born Killers? Would you put that as an action romance? That's not a rom com. No, that's just a fucking crazy movie.
The Bounty Hunter role play that when it came out on video that didn't even come out in the movies. The one with Kaley Cuoco.
Yeah, these movies just don't do well.
They just don't. They like don't, Shotgun right. Wedding with J-Lo.
Yeah, the Shotgun
Ghosted,
Wedding.
Ghosted. Like, all of these, like, comedies.
Ghosted is bad.
These like,
I think it's just when you do action rom-com, it's serving too many masters.
Yeah, like, who's going to see action movies? Guys.
Right.
Right? They might be dragging someone to see them with, but, like, the minute that you spend too much time and gets too cute, it ruins the action movie.
Well, did they count on like women coming to see it because of Ryan Gosling? Like, nothing, it didn't work.
But the thing is, like, the marketing for this movie was very much focused on like the stunts and the action,
yeah,
and, like, this crazy story of the stuntman getting involved in like a serious action thing. So that's very male,
yeah,
you know, usually. And then, yeah, you go in like I did, and then you're like, holy shit, the first quarter of this movie, first thirds of this movie is in rom-com now.
Yeah, the first half is a rom-com.
And if you're going to do action and comedy, it's got to be buddy-buddy, buddy-cop.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but we're talking action rom-com. How do you make that work?
He's saying don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It only works when you're doing
it's
like
a very small category.
Yeah, when you're doing fucking Shaun of the Dead or something like that, then it's fine.
Yeah, action comedy, clearly that you can do that.
Ruggs, did you like the music choice of the Kiss song?
They fucking did it to death. They overused it, but I love that song. It's one of my favorite Kiss songs, but they did overuse it. But I'm like, the fact that they used it as the soundtrack, I just thought it was a little too cute.
Out of Sight is another action.
Oh, yeah. George Clooney.
There's not a lot of action in there either.
That's more of like
it's more like a heist rom-com.
Yeah. Yep.
But even that movie I thought was all right.
So, I mean, this is it's as good as like The Lost City, I think. Overall, it entertained me. I was there for the stunts. I thought Gosling was great. I thought Aaron Taylor Johnson played a perfect fucking asshole actor.
Oh, yeah, he was an asshole.
Oh, my God. I don't think he was acting at all.
He was acting. You think that's how he really is?
I don't know. It seemed very good. It seemed very natural.
They needed like a Ben Gazzara character, like from fucking
a truly bad guy, bad guy.
Yeah,
over the top. But I did
like
appreciate
the studio head.
Yeah,
who's like fucking Harvey Weinstein, fucking Darth Vader.
I like the little Easter eggs. I like the throwback they tried to do. So I don't know. Was it a good balance of these things? Character, comedy, and action, maybe.
I mean, this is the type of movie where my friends were like, hey, should I go out of my way to watch that? And I was like, man, you could probably wait.
Well, see, I think this is another reason nobody's going to see the movies is these movies end up on fucking VOD in like 2 months now. Like Madam Web is going to be on Netflix, I think, next week. Like these movies come out that you don't know.
People will still go out to movies. Yeah. I don't think this has captured anyone's imagination.
I just think that these movies never had high interest because you're compromising the main audience for action movies.
A little bit, maybe, yeah.
And you're trying to get two opposing kind of, you got romantic comedy and you can do that to the nth degree. And some guys like to watch those too, right? And you throw a little action in there. Okay, now you're going to make it funny. All right, now you're kind of like losing a lot of like the DNA of why people go to the movies. And you're trying to do everything at once. And you spread yourself out too thin. Now, these movies never do well. So I don't expect movies like this to do well. It just never works.
The my boy, he's not really my boy, the Critical Drinker, made a video about this a while ago where he was like, you have to figure out, he said it in his own way, but you have to figure out like what your target audience is. Like, he's like, what the box office showed us last year is if you make a movie for men and it's marketed towards men, like Top Gun Maverick, you will do well because men will go see it. And if you make a movie for women, marketed towards women that is good, like Barbie, women will go see it. But when you combine those two things, you're serving too many masters and no one will go see
it. They tried to make it a crowd pleaser, right? But then it makes it a little too safe and not coherent. But yeah, who is, I don't think they were clear. Like,
who the target audience was. I think that's probably what they missed.
It's not a dumpster fire. It's not a bad movie.
The stunts were great. It's just forgettable.
It's a fine time. It's fine. People might go and like it.
It's a great popcorn flick. You'll turn your mind off.
Yeah, but it is fine. Don't get me wrong. I agree with both of you. It's just forgettable for me.
It is kind of forgettable at the same time, even though it has all these crazy stunts that I enjoyed. Okay, let's final thoughts.
But I do like the Fall Guy character. I don't like where he ends up. Like, what is he as a... I want him to end up as a fucking, as a bounty hunter.
As a bounty hunter. What happens at the end? They get together. And
they start a stunt team.
Oh, they start a stunt company. So, I mean, I could see them branching out and him getting caught into other mysteries and murders and shit.
This movie's not going to make it.
It's got to make money. It's got to make money.
Do anything.
And I just think, you know, this IP, nobody knows. By the Fall Guy,
the best, if they want to continue this, which I highly doubt that they'll want to do anything with this after the returns on this, but just make it into a TV show again. Figure out a way to get him to be a bounty hunter stunt guy and do that.
They tried this with the A-Team. They tried this with Miami Vice.
Making the 80s TV shows into a movie are tough.
They got to do the Bionic Man, though.
Oh, shit. If they do Bionic Man now, a reboot, a remake. Whoa, reimagining.
Would you do? Would you treat it seriously, or would you make it a comedy?
No, the show was serious.
The show was serious.
I know, but would you make it? Would you treat it seriously, or make it?
Yes,
a comedy? I feel like they'd make it a comedy.
They would because they can't. They have to like shit on the 80s, and by making it anything like making it so much less than what it was.
Yeah.
So if they're like, hey, we're gonna take this 80s idea that we could never do something awesome with, and we're gonna do it. We're gonna do like. The Bionic Man, the first, the $6 billion man that he tries all the cybernetics for the first time and use it, make it happen in today's world. Like fucking like Boston Dynamics is fucking doing this shit.
Oh shit. That would be great. It could be like,
and and make it feel like it's the today's version, like not like RoboCop where it's in the fucking distant future and dystopian world, like in today's world, like $6 billion to fucking recreate somebody with robot parts. What's that going to be like? And if he's working for the government, what does he do with those powers? And, you know, then you got something going.
I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. That could work.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done that.
It could work. That's another 80s thing.
Because they feel like it's already been done because RoboCop is basically the same thing.
It's a little RoboCop, but you can definitely make your own.
I mean, those toys alone are huge.
Yeah.
The RoboCop?
There's definitely no Bionic Man.
Oh, the Bionic Man.
You can't even, if you try and find one on eBay, they're
collectible. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Original from the 70s. Cloth fucking tracksuit and shit. It's great. Anthony, give us your final thoughts. Give me a number.
Maybe. Oh, this is this movie's a 6 if you've ever seen it. It's just slightly above average. Kind of a forgettable movie. I appreciate it if you love movies, if you love stunts, there's a lot there that David Leitch is clearly paying an homage to, you know, the movie quotes, their live stunts, the end, you know, with the bloopers and all that shit. Like it's all there, but it just, we kind of said it. Action rom-coms just don't work. It's fine. It just doesn't, it's not anything that's going to be remembered.
Him giving him the lines and he had to guess what movie's from. I love that. That was great. That was definitely like
it's cute.
A movie game I would play with my movie nerd friends.
Yeah, it's cute. I mean, there's a lot of cute stuff in here, but it doesn't overall work for me.
Have you seen his other movies? Do you want to rank it against some of the other movies you've seen of his?
I haven't seen Bullet Train.
Okay.
And I haven't seen Hobbs and Shaw, so I will not rank it against some of those movies.
Ruggs, what do you think?
There's two movies that are like this that I saw this year, Argyle and this. I think this one just edges it out, Argyle, a little bit because it's a little bit more plausible. The main characters are a lot more engaging and you want them to get together and it makes more sense. So I like this movie a little bit better than Argyle. So I'm going to give it a 6.5. There's fun to be had. It's just not a great movie. It's just okay. You know, it's like a 6.5, I think, is like I could recommend it to people who want to see a movie like this and they'll be fine. So,
yeah. All right. I think you'll be entertained. I love the stunt stuff. The fact that he kind of gave us a peek into the stunt world and it's an ode makes me give this movie a 7 for the stunt work. But again, I agree. It's just okay. It's fine. You'll forget about it, but you'll be entertained for a little bit. Should have been 90 minutes. They probably shouldn't have spent.
Yeah, 100, I agree 100%.
Shouldn't have spent $130 million on it also. Make it for less than $100 million.
I feel like it's not 90 minutes because I feel as if Gosling and Emily Blunt are almost two biggest stars where they would probably go,
we need more time.
Wait a minute, a 90-minute movie for us? Are you kidding me?
You want us to share a two-hander?
Yeah, we're 2 hours. We're not doing anything less than 2 hours.
Yeah, but she's not. And if you think about the back half, she's not even in the movie for like a bit until that plan at the end. I just think you could have shrunk that shit in the beginning. Could have got to that a little quicker. The whole setup. But look, there's a half-decent action movie in the back half of this film, so. It's weird. Let's find out what our listeners thought. Let's do some news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation. Is there a duck in your room?
It stinks. It's an ass duck.
A swan. Some kind of. Scott Swangorum, checking in, saw the movie. He said, I saw this a few days ago. Had a great time. Perfect date movie. Lots of action. Was a lot funnier than I thought it would be. As you might think, the stunts are way over the top in a great way. It is a good date movie. I'll give you that. And then Jose Ibarra says, it was fun, but ultimately forgettable and a bit long. Without the chemistry between Gosling and Blunt, this movie would have fell really flat. Where does Ryan Gosling rank amongst the actors of his generation? I get the sense that he's grossly underrated and should be near the top.
Oh, interesting.
That's a good question.
I feel like Ryan Gosling is pretty highly rated. I don't know if I agree with that.
I think he's just getting more and more exposure. I think he's slowly been rising. Barbie definitely helped.
Slowly been rising. He's been around forever. What are you talking about? Slowly been rising.
I mean, but Barbie really was like when he, I think that put him
in
another level.
I don't know. I feel like he's had a couple peaks. I feel like
after The Notebook, he was like huge.
Yeah, he was big after The Notebook. Yeah, he was big after Crazy Stupid Love.
He was big
at Drive.
Yeah,
that, I mean, he's been big for a lot. I feel
he's big hits. I think
La La Land.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
La La Land. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't had any big hits, but he's like, I think Ryan Gosling's in that book where like guys want to be him and girls love him.
Is he?
Like, he's in a good spot.
Is he up there with Chalamet right now, you think?
Up there with Chalamet? What the fuck are we comparing right now?
That's the other Chalamet? Hot guy. I'm just saying, in terms of like...
You compared him to Chalamet?
I'm just saying...
Well, Chalamet's movie made more money.
Chalamet, I mean, they're not even the same. No guy wants to be Timothy Chalamet. No.
I think some guy.
Look, have you looked at him?
Yeah.
He looks like he's 12 years old.
He's the Lisan Al Gaib.
Oh, my God.
He's the Muad Daib.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're
Anthony doesn't need to. Anthony's not going to the gym trying to get a body like Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah,
that's a good point. You don't want. Yeah, it's a little okay.
He's not drinking protein powder to look like him.
I was just thinking in terms of like people. Who else is big? Who else would you put in his generation?
Who's in like Ryan Gosling's sphere? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Chris Evans.
Okay,
Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
Those, you know, yeah, compared to Chris Pratt, like all the Marvel guys,
all the Chris's. Yeah. No, I think he makes a decent
Frank Grillo.
He's cooler than like he's cooler with the ladies than like The Rock.
Yeah,
there's that new guy from Top Gun that's now.
That guy's getting big. That guy feels like he's got Ryan Gosling.
Who?
Yeah, he's got. He's going to be
the
next
from Top
guy.
Gun
Miles Teller, the guy who's Bob.
No. What Bob?
The guy who kind of looks like Ryan
Gosling.
That was
fucking Sidney Sweeney. In that movie?
Oh, Glenn Powell is right.
Glenn Powell.
You know what the problem I have with Glenn Powell? He's very generic. He's just like too... There's something about him. It's very generic.
Yeah, he's very like... He's very like you take everybody and swirl them together and then that's what he is.
Yeah, I can't like... There's no defining feature, but he's been everywhere. Yeah, he has been. He's a Twister.
Big. He needs like a cool mustache or something.
I would put Ryan Gosling, though, hot, bigger, better over Glenn Powell.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Ryan Gosling's kind of has like his thing. He's not like Leo level.
What about Jack Reacher?
Oh no, Richson is below the Gosling right now.
Yeah, Richson's
making his way up though.
Cavill's up there too.
Cavill's on
up
that
there.
Level.
I think Cavill and Gosling are kind of on the same level.
Yes.
They're not like peak like Tom Cruise or like they're not old like Vin Diesel and The Rock. They're kind of like this middle tier.
I would consider him an action star. Yeah,
they're like in their 40s.
Yeah.
They're like
he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
He is in his 40s. Gosling, it's like he's like the new wave action star, right? Like where he probably came up as like a legit actor and did a lot of diverse roles, but then also was like grew up in the 80s and I want to do some fun action movies as well.
Yeah,
I mean, he was in Remember the Titans.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, he's done a lot of different things.
He does hit.
Drive.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
Oh, he's in The Big Short.
He was in The Big Short. I don't even remember that.
Yeah,
he's been in a lot of just regular acting movies.
Yeah, So I think he ranks pretty highly amongst his generation of actors. So that answers the question. Yeah. He's a little.
I mean, if he's underrated, I wouldn't underrate him.
I think he can pretty much do anything. Like Brad Pitt can do anything.
Yeah, that's the kind of feel. I don't think he's ever reached Brad Pitt height.
Right.
Where like every fucking woman in the world wants to fuck him. But he's almost, he was close.
Brad Pitt was making box office though at 7.
Right, yeah.
Right.
He had some
Fight
real
Club.
Big bangers. Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never
gotten
that.
Fight Club didn't do well in the theaters.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
But it became like a thing afterwards.
Well, but Brad also did like the romance, right? Like what's that movie where in the Western and he's got long hair and it's a fucking.
Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, so he had similar. Career to the Gosling, what are you doing?
But Brad Pitt's box office is
Gosling.
Probably
I think
better.
This was supposed to prove he's box office, but nobody fucking went out to watch this. So
yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, he's never had the. He's had good movies, but they've never been anything other than Barbie, and he was second fiddle in Barbie.
Yes, and that's a. But it was a. Yeah.
Just he's never had anything where it's like he's the guy,
right.
And it's led. It's been awesome, and like the box office.
But that's what they were trying to do with this movie, right? He was the star. The star-driven movie.
Actually, he did do Blade Runner, and that did well.
So World War Z for Brad Pitt made him $540 million.
Yeah, he's never even gotten close. The only thing
Troy got like, almost 500. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is almost 500.
Oh, man.
So everything's like $500 million that he's been in for. Like he's got like six of them that are like almost $500 million.
The only thing he's got is Barbie, which was $1.4 billion, but that wasn't him.
Yeah. It was
everything.
But like he still had a lot to do with that movie, but yeah.
But it wasn't riding on him. It was literally just
it was an established IP.
I believe in you, Gosling. You can do it. Hang in there.
Yeah,
He's good. He's just he's good. He doesn't have his thing. Maybe he doesn't want his thing. I don't know. He doesn't really do anything.
Why not? Let him do fucking be Adam, Prince Adam. Let's do it.
Well, speaking of He-Man, did you see that story? Amazon has picked up the live action and given it a date for 2026. They have
never happening.
They have a director, Travis Knight, who directed Bumblebee. I think they have a script. They have not cast anyone. But a couple of names thrown around. I think Alan Ritchson would be good for a He-Man, but you need another guy to play Adam. Maybe Ryan Gosling, Adam Ritchson combination, or if Gosling bulks up. But I also agree, Ruggs. I don't think that movie's ever getting made.
They've given it
a release date after it leaves Netflix. I don't think it's going to happen. Okay. Let's finish up with what are we watching, Anthony? You watch anything?
I did.
What'd you watch? Oh my God.
I finally watched something. I watched because what's that movie? Boy Kills World put me back on an action movie.
Nice, nice.
So I decided I'd finally get around to watching one of the bloodiest, goriest action movies you'll ever watch. Released on Netflix in 2018, the Indonesian action movie The Night Comes for Us.
Oh, you saw that movie? I told you it was bloody.
I want to see this. I've heard about this.
I liked it. Don't get me wrong, but it is. Yeah, I mean, it is. This. Like if you just changed up a little bit of the beats, it's a horror movie in terms of the action.
Yeah,
it is. It is fucking bloody and brutal. I mean, that's what it hangs its hat on. Really, is it's just fucking brutal.
Yeah, there's parts flying everywhere.
Yeah, body parts and blood.
2018. What is it about? What happens?
It's basically about the triad. There's this guy that's in the triad and he's part of this like secret group in the triad where there's these six assassins and they're mowing down a village to teach these villagers a lesson. And there's a little kid and he has a change of heart and kills his comrades to save the little kid.
Yeah.
And then he has to protect the little kid while the rest of the fucking triad
are
sending an army against him. And it gets a little convoluted. There's a lot of like random characters get thrown in and stuff. So it doesn't, it's not like to me, The Raid and The Raid 2 are still way better.
Oh, Ico's in this, huh?
Ico's like the villain.
Oh shit. Villains. He's the bad guy.
So there's some good fights. It's good. Like it's damn well done action movie, but it's what it's known for and what its legacy is just fucking violence.
Oh, what made you put that on? You just were like, oh, I remember that from people talking about it.
I remember you mentioning it, and I remember people when we were talking about The Raid, like saying you have to watch this. And then looked it up on Letterboxd, and everyone on there pretty much likes it, and they're like, you have to watch it on there.
We got a lot of comments when we put those episodes out. People were like, check out The Night Comes for Us.
Yeah, it's just a gore. It's a gory fucking. That's what I remember more than anything.
Yeah, it's
it almost takes away from the movie because unless you like that shit like a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like it subtracts from like
it's slasher too much action on it. Combined.
It's just like they're making the action so realistic. Not realistic, but like so focused on the gore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it becomes more like a horror movie.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Because it's just people's arms and blood spurting everywhere.
It's focused on like fucking killing. And like a lot of action movies, you kill and it's a brutal death, but like this one, it's like
lingering.
There's like 30 brilliant.
Yeah, they're all
Jesus. I need to see this so I can see if that Indian movie Kill.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. If it's going to be like
that, it's going to be that gory. But yeah, no, okay. Would you recommend? I'm gonna check it out.
If you like action movies, I mean, if you like that Indonesia, if you like The Raid,
yeah.
Joe Taslim, who's also in the raid, is the lead.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of feel, it's like that. You just have to go in knowing I'm going to be like, oh, my God.
Wear a poncho.
This is a little much, but okay.
You're getting rained blood.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
There's literally a video on YouTube where they use this movie, and then they talk about a horror movie that Gareth Evans did.
Yeah.
Gareth Emery, whatever the fuck his name is, Gareth. And they're like, these movies aren't all that dissimilar. It's like they were basically saying like action movies and horror movies. If you just take a couple beats, you can make one the other because both movies run on adrenaline. And he's like, this movie is like, if you just changed it up a little bit, it could be a horror movie.
Riding that line.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. I think that's a solid recommendation. Tell you the truth,
Don't get me wrong. It's brutal, but it's memorable. Okay. Like you'll watch that and go, I don't know if I remember the plot, but I know that movie is gory as fuck.
Right on. Ruggs, you watch anything?
I watched The Bad Batch. I watched the whole thing.
On
May the 4th, I was like, it's time for me to catch up on Star Wars.
What? So you watched two seasons of it?
I watched a season and a half of it that I didn't watch. I fell off.
Good batch if you watched the whole thing.
It wasn't that good of a good batch. So I watched the first season ending. Yeah, it was the finale. I watched the first season. It was good. I kind of enjoyed it. I like Omega. The characters were good. What do you think of what you saw?
Well, I like to call it the bland batch because they're all like these bland ass clone characters. And they try and give them their own personalities, but since they're all voiced by a similar voice,
and they all sound Australian or New Zealand.
They all have similar accents and they all have similar armor. It doesn't have that pop that you really want.
You got Wrecker and then you got that other guy, Sniper, the tech. I don't remember their names.
You got Wrecker, Tech, Hunter.
Tech, Hunter, right. Their names are what they do.
Yeah, the names are what they do. Yeah.
And Omega.
And they have Omega, which is the girl clone. And the story centers around her, like this last season. Basically, she ends up being the key to the Empire's trying to make a super weapon, and they need her blood to do it. And she gets captured, and they have to bust her out. And that's basically like the gist of what the whole season is. And it was a very simple season, but what weighed it down more than anything was that they had all of these fetch quests where they would spend an episode trying to get something so they can get something else.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, you only need 4 episodes to tell the story because all these other things were like superfluous, like fetch quests.
That's the format though of that kind of show, right?
Yeah, they got to stop that because like they need to make a story where they're not just like killing time and you feel it. And It took away. I was actually into it. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is gonna happen? Like, what are they doing? What are they up to with the blood? And they spent so much time on other stuff. They never really get to sink your teeth into that and how cool that could have been. So the focus is in the wrong place. And I think this is all Filoni's fault. Like he seems to focus on these things that kind of stretch things out instead of like make them all chain together to be like this really big ride. But I enjoyed it. It wasn't great. It could have been way better.
So I started the second season and then isn't there a part in the beginning where it just goes to something completely different? And that's when I stopped. That lost me. I was like, what the fuck is this? Where's Omega in the fucking Bad Batch?
Yeah. They kind of go around to different spots and tell you different sections of the story.
It kills the momentum and I stopped watching and I never went back.
That's what they need. That's the good word. Momentum. They got to stop this. Like all of a sudden you're like, I could skip this episode. Cause like what happens is you're like, oh, we need to get this thing. I'm like, okay, well I know they're going to get it.
I'm just going to jump ahead.
I just need to skip. Yeah. I don't need to, nothing's going to happen that's really that important. So I'm just going to skip this episode and you could. And that's bad. Like every episode should fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like you can't watch a 3 Body Problem and skip an episode. Like every episode's fucking matters. Yeah. So, or Fallout, you can't really skip an episode,
but
you have to watch it all. So,
but it's like the problem of like the old episodic TV kind of format is like, sometimes you need these filler episodes cause you've been given.
I just think that the level of people that they're hiring at Disney is not good and Marvel. I think that they are They're bots. They're not really talented storytellers. They're not. They're everything is so generic.
Yo, what about X-Men though?
X-Men, at least they're using the comics. So way more talented writers came up with source material and they were just smart enough to stick with it to some degree. You know, they pulled from that stuff. So there you go. Like this Bad Batch is pulling from nothing. And the people that are creating this stuff are not that talented. So it's generic. The other thing that I watched was Anything or Anyone But You.
That's the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell.
I was like, okay, this movie's on Netflix. I need something light. I was in a funk, so I needed something light to pick me up. And I was like, hey, this maybe some boobies will help.
Yeah, is it R-rated? Are there boobies?
Yeah, there are boobies.
Oh, good for them.
Are there boobies?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, there is. Very interesting. There's a couple of boobies and a couple of man ass. There's a lot of man ass in there. We get to see a lot of ass crack. What's it called
again?
Anyone But You.
Yeah, this movie's terrible.
Bad.
It's enjoyable. Like if you're not really serious. Like the movie is about these two people who hook up one night and. Because of writing, it doesn't work out because there's some situation that happens that doesn't even warrant them hitting each other, but they end up hitting each other. Mm. And they all of a sudden by fate, they're all in this wedding party on a destination wedding. And their animosity towards each other is like ruining the wedding. So they decide to like fake being boyfriend and girlfriend to like shut everybody up. It doesn't make any sense. And so they end up liking each other because they're trying to make other people jealous. So they would, you know, whatever. And they end up liking each other and then the banging and all that fun stuff.
Is it funny at least?
Well, I was trying to get into this Sydney Sweeney thing because I haven't seen her in anything except for Spider-Man movie. And she's got Megan Fox syndrome.
Oh boy, that's not good.
Which is Megan Fox is very attractive, but her acting and her delivery or sound of her voice just is like nails on a chalkboard. Yeah. And she's got kind of like. Now, the thing about this movie is that they're in on it for some reason because there's a few scenes where they're talking about her and they're talking about how she mumbles. And that she's a mumbly person.
Oh, really?
She's got like half closed eyes all the time.
Yeah.
And you know,
she got stoner eyes. It's great.
Yeah. She's got stoner eyes and all that stuff. So they're in on it and she's in on it too. And she's like wearing like low cut everything and letting everything hang out and in bathing suits all the time. So she's doing her part. So I feel like if she stays in that Megan Fox lane, she'll be fine. But I don't think she's going to go anywhere from there.
Well, this movie, for what it's worth, $25 million and made $219 at the box.
Wow, yeah. No, it did pretty good. A lot of people were talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's the Glenn Powell. I just didn't
think... It's a romantic comedy. It's like, it's really stupid. It's really stupid.
Can those two be funny, though, was my question when I saw this cast. I was like,
no, nothing's funny really in it at all. There's like two parts where I chuckled. There was like a couple parts where I chuckled and I don't even remember what they were.
So speaking of the sex in movies, I saw a Hollywood Reporter has this article about this. People did this study and it turns out since 2000, the level of sex content in cinema has fallen by almost 40%. The number of films with no sexual content at all has risen from 20% per year to roughly 50%. Meaning, there's just less. There's just less explicit things in the movies.
Well, when you have porn and, you know, for that outlet and it's like ubiquitous and everywhere, it's free. Like you used like back in the day, right? You couldn't get pornography. It was hard. Even on the internet, you couldn't get it. Yeah. You had to like pay. It was on behind a paywall. So you had to go to the movies to see titties.
Yeah.
You had to go. You know what I mean?
They would
make
movies like Basic Instinct, right? What happened to the erotic thrillers? They don't make that shit anymore.
There was erotic thrillers. There was things like that. So you had to go to the movies.
I also think that there's just a lot more directors that just, they are sensitive to like offending people.
Well, and like, the talent making, also doesn't want to show things.
Yeah, making the talent seem like they're, or making specifically women seem like they're objects.
Right, right.
So which, I think there's a lot of like sensitivity to that, and I think that can be...
well, they have intimacy coordinators now on set and everything. Like, it just takes the fun out of trying to get like a sexy performance.
I think this is like, that's like, it's like almost like an overcorrection now at this point.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
You can't let artists work, because... Well, yeah, so there's a lot of different factors to it. I think that there's a lot of that political correctness and overcorrection and this and that. I think that there's no need for it, really, because there's an outlet for people. They're not looking for that in their movies, really, as much.
Dude, it's a crazy time we're living in. What we just talk about? There's less sex in movies, and nobody's going to movies anyway.
I mean, like, what the I was surprised when I was watching Oppenheimer and what's her face?
Yes, Florence Pugh is naked for no reason.
Just naked.
It's unnecessary.
I'm like, this is like a throwback.
Yes, I forgot what that looked like. Oh, look at that.
Big-time actress just digging off her top.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the last person, Jennifer Lawrence, in that movie, I thought that was pretty brave. She's full frontal, backhole, everything.
That was actually a better movie than a better romantic comedy.
Yeah. J-Law is really good at the comedy. I got to give it to her. And I didn't think Sweeney would be good, so. All right. Did you watch X-Men episode 8, Ruggs? Do you remember?
Yes.
Do you remember? Dude, that one.
Spoiler alert.
The shit got crazy. And actually, there was a moment where I was like, how the fuck are they going to stop all these fucking, these Sentinels that are organic and everywhere? I thought they were done. The shit was done. And I was like, holy shit. They were really put. And then Magneto, like a badass. That was amazing. What'd you think?
Magneto, you can't fuck with Magneto. He's Omega level.
I mean, he comes in and just wipes out all the electricity.
Well, what was he waiting for?
I don't know. He was waiting till it got bad. Just wearing underwear saves the world.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. So I rather enjoyed that one. There was a quick Spider-Man cameo, which seemed to be the same Spider-Man from the 90s animated show, which everyone is saying all those 90s shows are in the same universe because we saw Captain America. A lot of cameos. There was like a Doctor Doom cameo.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
I know.
Two more episodes left. Anthony, are you going to catch up? Can we review this?
When is it?
So there's two episodes left.
No shot.
So you got like 2 weeks, I guess, roughly, to catch up on 10 and a half hour episodes.
Yeah, we can. Sure, whatever.
I don't know what we're doing then. We'll probably.
So Anthony, you been watching basketball? Is that what's going on?
Well, it's nicer out, so I've been doing activities. You know, I've been learning how to hit a golf ball. You know, there's just a lot of things going on. There's not a lot of time, but I could probably catch up for.
Oh, he's jocking. That's what's going on.
He's jocking. We're nerding. That's the problem. Yeah. Okay, wait. One last thing I want to mention. I did watch the Jerry Seinfeld directorial debut movie called Unfrosted. The story of the Pop-Tart. Does it have it? No, it's just called Unfrosted. Now. This movie is not what I thought it was. If I thought this was going to be like one of those biopics like Tetris or Flaming Hots about the actual cereal wars, the creation of the Pop-Tart and how it became huge. No. This is not this. This is Jerry Seinfeld's imagination and his version of how the Pop-Tart became huge just because he loved cereal and he loved Pop-Tarts. It is a silly, goofy movie. Critics are bagging on this. I think it's only like 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. It reminded me, it's like an airplane crossed with Naked Gun meets a little Willy Wonka, meets that Weird Al movie. It's a joke a minute. There's gags that happen for no reason, and it keeps going. Not all of them are great. Some of them made me laugh pretty hard. But the great thing is the cameos in this movie. Everybody's in this fucking movie. It's a weird movie, right? This movie has a sentient ravioli. There's a scene where they give this guy a burial and all the cereal mascots come out and they have giant boxes of Frosted Flakes that say funeral size. They pour cereal in the grave. They pour milk in the grave. They stir it. This is the kind of movie. There's a scene where the mascots there's an uprising and they want more money. And he absolutely does a January 6th parody with Tony the Tiger dressed as the shaman dude attacking the Kellogg's headquarters. But just here's who's in the movie. Jerry Seinfeld, of course. You have Christian Slater, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant playing Tony the Tiger. Amy Schumer is in the movie. Mikey Day, Patrick Warburton, Max Greenfield, and John Hamm. The list goes on and on. Fred Armisen, crazy cameos. So it's a really silly, goofy thing that he's put together. I kind of enjoyed it just because I like the throwback to like a Naked Gun, Top Secret kind of vibe. But it's, I thought it was going to be something completely different. Any interest in seeing this, Ruggs?
I don't know. I like Seinfeld, but I don't know if I'm into this movie, but like, I might check it out.
And directed it.
I might check it out. He's fucking 70.
He's 70. He's still going. He looks great for 70.
I thought he looks like he's like in his early 60s or late 50s.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's 70.
Cedric the Entertainer is in this.
Oh my God. Sold.
Sebastian Maniscalco is in this. Beck Bennett. The crazy. Cause like when Bobby Moynihan, when Jerry calls, he could probably get anyone. Thomas Lennon, sure. Sashir Zameda, James Marsden is in this. There's this. So he kind of spoofs like the NASA moon landing and he's like, I'm going to get the top minds of the 60s. And it's like the guy who came up with the Schwinn bike, Chef Boyardee, the guy who invented sea monkeys, Jack LaLanne, the Carvel ice cream. It's ridiculous. It's so silly.
Tom
Carvel is there. He's one of the characters. And Tom Carvel. It's so silly. It reminded me of Airplane. And I was like, I haven't seen a movie.
It might be. It's got a lot of throwback humor. Yeah. Like from like, I would say the 60s and 70s.
The jokes keep coming. Like I think they improv'd a lot of it also. It's in this world where these two companies.
All right. Now I'm always curious about it.
Curious. And it was quirky.
So you liked it?
I mean, I thought it was silly. It's silly. It's a little funny in parts.
It's a little funny.
It's funny. I was like, that's a really weird movie. Oh, it's Imran. It's a weird movie. It's a weird movie. I don't know if it's good, but it's weird.
It's a little funny.
Imran's like a TV watching machine.
I think if you're curious, definitely check it out. I love Seinfeld. And I was going to watch it.
And that's coming from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imran loves everything. And if it's on TV.
Listen, I was raised by television. I do have this inherent love relationship with television. We go way back.
Every what are we watching? He's got five things listed and then he's got things that he didn't even list. He's like, wait a minute, I watched this one more thing.
All right.
Keep in mind, viewers, he edits the show too,
and I do all the notes.
That's like hours upon hours of work.
It is,
and then he still has time to watch 17 other things.
I got to squeeze in Perfect Strangers. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. What are we watching this week, fellas? Well, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes comes out. Geek boner.
Oh my gosh.
We will be reviewing that.
I'm in.
Social
gotta get a Stubbs card.
Social media reactions are out and are positive, but I don't think the embargo lifts until the day before it comes out, which is a little concerning. There's no Rotten Tomato score, but they've been showing clips and shit. Fuck it, I'm in. I can't wait to go to this world in the future. In the past, it's in the future. The apes look great, and third ape movie. We can complete the ape trilogy at 2024. Godzilla X Kong, Monkey Man.
We'll rank the ape movies at the end too.
Oh, the Planet of the Apes movie. Yes, because it's
We'll rank the Planet of the Apes movie, but we'll also rank the 2024 movies.
I like that. Yeah, it's the fourth one, right? This one technically I'm saying in this series.
Oh,
we're counted as
Jesus Christ. We're talking about two different things.
I know. I'm sorry. It's confusing. Anyways, get your tickets. That's your homework, listener. That's it for this week, Ruggs. Where can the listener find you?
At Rug Boy Show on X. Come follow me.
He needs the
support
follows.
Me. Yeah.
He needs the validation.
I think I have like 20 people following.
All right, we're getting there. Anthony, where can the listener find you this week?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to be watching X-Men 97.
You're
going
to have to start.
What is it? So there's 10 episodes?
There's eight, four hours, half an hour.
I ended at episode 2 where I guess Jean Grey shows up, but it's not Jean Grey.
Goblin Queen, Madeline Pryor, all that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Good luck with all that.
Thank you.
In the meantime,
we need it.
Listener, check out our website, jockandnerd.com, for links, all the ways you can support, join, communicate, follow us on socials, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's a nerd.
We'll peep you next time.
Not funny.
Thing, I offered you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it!
Yes. I see that you know your judo well.
Jock and nerd.